ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
فما زلنا في شرح كتاب الزكاة.
Last time we started talking about الزكاة.
رحمه الله. وقد توقفنا عند الحديث عن فضل الزكاة والترغيب.
Last time we were speaking about the virtue of the zakat.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله قال الله تعالى خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم.
And as we said last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in one of his verses to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم take صدقة or charity from their property in order to purify and sanctify them. And as we said last time that the word zakat itself means purifying. The zakat in Arabic means to purify yourself and to purify your money. Also it increases. The word zakat also means increase, because if you spend for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase and to duplicate your money or multiplicate your money. So donating and spending this money for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to purify yourself and increase your money, and also helps the poor. And as we know, there are two categories of spending. Either you spend as a must, which is in the case of zakat, or you might spend voluntarily as in the case of charity.
آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in more than one of the verses in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the people who will be in the paradise.
هذه الآيات الكريمة وصف الله عز وجل فيها عباده المتقين. جعل الله أخص صفات الأبرار.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one of their features is spending the charity for the case of Allah.
وطبعا الإحسان يشمل الإحسان في عبادة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And the highest rank or the best feature of the Muslims or the believers who will be in the paradise is Ihsan. And Ihsan means, has two meanings. First, there is Ihsan. The word Ihsan itself means you make the thing in the best way. So there is Ihsan in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you are worshipping Allah in the best manner or in the best way. Also, there is other meaning of the word Ihsan in Arabic, which means spending for the cause of Allah. So either you make Ihsan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by perfectly worshipping Him, or making Ihsan to the people by spending the charity for the poor. Other features for those people who will be in the paradise, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in his verses, he said also that those people also were praying all the night or the best part of the night. which is the last part of the night, they were spending it praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were also memorizing the name of Allah. Those are some features of those people who will be in the paradise, and as we said that the best one of these features is making ihsan.
يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله. يقول المؤلف رحمه الله أي إن الجماعة التي يباركها الله ويشملها
also in other verses of Quran
الجماعة التي تؤمن بالله
الله سبحانه وتعالى
بعضها بعضا بالنصر والحب تولى بعضها بعضا يعني يحب بعضها بعضا وينصر بعضها بعضا
and the believers men and women are protecting friends of one another, they enjoin the right and forbid the wrong, they perform a prayer and pay zakat and they obey Allah and His Messenger, upon them Allah will have mercy. These verse is the 71 in the chapter Tawbah.
قال وقال الله تعالى الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا
الزكاة. Also in another verse in chapter Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who if we give them power in the land, perform prayers and pay zakat and enjoy kindness and forbid inequality, so from this verse we can infer that one of the reasons to have the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend you and will protect you and will give you the power on this earth is to pray or to make the prayers and also to pay zakah. Also if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone the power from him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. So paying zakah is one of the reasons to have the power on that on this earth. Actually, there are a lot of verses in Quran describing and motivating people and arguing people to pay zakah because it is one of the features that the Muslim has to enjoy. At-Tirmidhi relates from Abu Kabasha that the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear upon three things, and I ask you to memorize my words. So the starting of this hadith by swearing by the Prophet ﷺ, meaning that these three things are very important things. And even the Prophet ﷺ emphasized and added that we have to memorize this hadith. All such things reflects how important this hadith is. These three things are, first, sadaqah taken from a property never decreases it. So never, if you pay charity for the cause of Allah, never will your property or money decrease. You might think that if you already spend some money for the cause of Allah, that your money is going to decrease. Because, for example, if you have $1,000 and you spent $100, that means that you only have $900. But if you think of it in the other way, that the value of the money is how to make use of it, not how much you have. and how can you make benefit from it? For example, you might have a lot of money, but you could not make benefit from all such money. For example, you might be tested, or you might have some problems, and you are going to spend a lot of money to solve this problem and to overcome your hardships and your crisis in this life. You might spend a lot of money to solve a problem or to face a problem. But on the other hand, if you have little money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might guide you to make the best benefit from that money. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you this little amount of money. So the matter here is not how much do you have of money, but how value of money you can make use of. As we said that you might have little money, but on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this money and it will fulfill your needs, and you will never need anything from anyone else. The second point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized is a man who suffers injustice and is patient with it, Allah will grant him strength. So if you suffer from injustice and you forgive the person who was aggressive towards you, who were transgressive towards you, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, and you seek refuge at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and will give you the strength and power. The third point is that a man who starts begging, Allah will cause him to be poor. If you found that begging people is something easy and you will enjoy doing it and it is an easy way for earning, the point is that it is not like this, but you will finally be led to be poor. If you start to beg people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you poor and poorer. So the Muslim is not allowed to ask people for charity or beg people unless he already in a bad need. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you poor. Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi relate from Abu Huraira that the Prophet said, Allah receives charity by His right hand. So, here there is a point. We have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hands. We have to believe in that. But we have also to believe that His hands are not as ours. But it is something we cannot imagine. So returning back to the hadith, Allah receives charity by His right hand and then He causes it to grow for each of you. Just as you raise a horse, colt, foal, or young weaned camel, so that morsel becomes as large as the mount of Uhud. So from this hadith, we know that if you spend a tiny thing or a little or a small amount for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this amount and take this charity and will grow it up and raise it for you, and finally it will be become as large as the mount of Uhud.
تصديق الحديث في كتاب الله تعالى أن الآية التي تدل على معنى الحديث الشريف كثيرا كثير من الأحاديث النبوية الشريفة يكون لها
there is a mirror of this hadith in the Quran that
في كتاب الله تعالى
الله سبحانه وتعالى in the chapter of Baqarah was saying that
يعلم أن الله هو يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويأخذ الصدقة. الحديث بين
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take the charities and will increase it. As we know that many of the ahadith has the meaning or refer to some meaning which exactly found also in the Quran.
ويربي الصدقات يعني ينميها ويضاعفها ويزيدها. طيب ثم قال يعني وروى حديث ثالث قال وروى أحمد بسند صحيح عن أنس رضي الله عنه.
Also أحمد relates
سند صحيح لكن that سند يعني فيه ضعف كما بين الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله ضعف هذا الحديث.
That Anas said
ولكن يغني عنه من سبق ومن سيأتي من الحديث الصحيح. الحديث عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال أتى رجل من تميم.
A man from the tribe of Tamim came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
فقال يا رسول الله
and said O messenger of Allah
ذو مال كثير وذو أهل
I have plenty of property, a large family, a great deal of money, and I am a gracious host to my guests. Tell me how to conduct my life and how to spend. Then the Messenger of Allah replied, pay zakat out of your property, for truly it is a purifier which purifies you, and be kind to your relatives and acknowledge the rights of the poor, neighbors and beggars. So this was the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to this man how to spend his money. Also it was reported from Aisha that the Messenger of Allah, peace upon him, said, I swear upon three things. Allah does not equate one who has a portion in Islam with one who does not. The portion of Islam, portions of Islam are three: prayer, fasting, and zakah.
الذي حلف عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يسوي بين
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم swore by Allah that there are three aspects in Islam, the doers of them do not equate with the non-doers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot equate the person who pray with the person who does not pray. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot equate the person who fasts Ramadan and the one who does not. And the third, Allah is not going to equate the person who pays zakah with the one who does not. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, if Allah takes care of a man in this world, He will take care of him on the day of judgment. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and loves one of His slaves in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him and will undertake him and will guide him in this world and in the hereafter as well.
يوفقه في الآخرة ويتولاه سبحانه وتعالى برحمته ويدخله في الجنة. لا يتولى الله عبدا في الدنيا فيوليه غيره يوم القيامة يعني فيتركه ويأكله إلى غيره.
So never does Allah take care of a person in this world and will leave him in the hereafter.
فالله تعالى يتولى.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the Muslims in this world and also in the Day of Judgment. The third aspect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sweared by is if a man likes a group of people, Allah will certainly include him among them. This is a crucial point. Because, for example, if one loves the prophets, the good doers, all such people, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure will include this person with this group of people. So from this we conclude that the Muslim has to pay his loyalty only to the Muslims and to the good believers to be with them in the Day of Judgment. Then the Prophet ﷺ added, for the fourth, if I swear on it, I hope I will not commit a sin. So the Prophet ﷺ indicates by that he hopes that this thing is true, and this fourth thing is that if Allah conceals a man's sin in this world, he will certainly not expose him on the Day of Judgment. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals a person in this world, this will be an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also conceal him in the hereafter. So if you commit a sin in this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid it for you and did not make it public and did not make any person else to know it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will proceed as well in the hereafter and will not expose you to punishment. So in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call this person and will speak to him, didn't you do so and so and so in the world? Then the person will reply yes, and will keep replying yes and yes, and he will think that he is going to be punished and he will be in the hellfire. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, I already concealed you in the world and I will do the same also in that day, meaning the Day of Judgment. But the disbelievers or the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like will come at the hereafter and their sins will be common and will be in public for all others. Also, it has been narrated that Jabir reported, a man said, O Messenger of Allah, what will be the gains for a man who pays zakah on his assets? The Messenger of Allah, upon whom be peace, said, for one who pays zakah on his assets, he will be removed from the evil in them. The last hadith which argue people to and motivate them to pay zakah, that Jabir ibn Abdullah reported, I made a deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will establish prayers and zakah, and I will give advice to every Muslim.
وكان جرير رضي الله عنه من أجل بيعته للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على النصح لكل مسلم.
So
كان رضي الله عنه.
The third matter here in the deal with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is to make advice for all the Muslims. And by the way, we mentioned the following story. The person who made this deal with the Prophet ﷺ had some horses to sell. Then someone came to him and asked for the horse, and he said to him, this horse is 800, but the seller himself, who narrated this hadith, says to the buyer that this horse worth less than this amount, and finally he gave it to him with $200, because he already was very honest and he made a deal with the Prophet ﷺ to give the advice to all the people. So he did not lie to the person who came to buy the horse from him, and he already paid sold this horse with its normal value. On the other hand, there are some hadith carrying the warnings for the people who denied paying zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Oh, you who believe, most surely many of the doctors of law and the monks eat away the property of men falsely and turn them from Allah's way. And as for those who hoard treasures of gold and silver and do not spend them for the sake of Allah, warn them of grievous sufferings in the life to come, on the day when that hoarded wealth shall be heated in the fires of hell, and their foreheads and their sides and their backs branded with it. So those people who already store the golds and monies and don't spend it for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people, these things and these treasures will be in the fire with them, and they will be heated with these properties.
سيطوقون ما دخلوا به يوم القيامة، سيجعل هذا المال الذي دخلوا به وامتنعوا عنه كافر وكان واجبا عليه كفاره، فسيجعل هذا الناس طوقا من النار في أعناقه، طوقا من النار في أعناقه ولا يزن.
Also these people who keep the money and don't spend for the for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this money will be like a rub around their necks in the hell fire.
التخويف من منع الزكاة وبيان عقوبة منع الزكاة. قال وروى أحمد.
Also there are some hadith warning the people against denying paying the zakah. Ahmad and Muslim relate from Abu Huraira that the Prophet ﷺ says, no owner of a treasure who the treasure here means the amount of money which was worth paying zakah. If you are storing a huge amount of money but you already paid the care for these for this money, so this property or this money is not considered a treasure. But the treasure here means only the money which you have while it is worth paying the care but you did not.
أوجب الله تعالى عليه من النفقات والزكاة، فماله الإيه المدخر لا يعتبر كنزا.
So all your saved money is not considered a treasure if you already paid the portion of zakah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no owner of a treasure who does not pay zakah will be spared. For his treasure will be heated in the fires of hell, and then made into plates his flanks and his forehead will be branded with them until Allah pronounces judgment of his servants during a day lasting 50,000 years.
فبين صلى الله عليه وسلم سيحمى عليه في نار جهنم ويكوى بها جنباه.
So all these treasures which you already saved and did not pay its portion of zakah, it will be in the hellfire and it will be heated and will burn you.
لا يؤدي زكاتها إلا بطح لها بقاع قرقة. إلا بطح لها يعني بسط ومد.
Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, a camel owner who does not pay zakah will not be spared either. He will lay flat on a sandy, soft plain, and they will run over him heavily, one after another.
على الجري والأبرار كلما مضى عليه أخراها ردت عليه أولا
and it will repeatedly and it will be repeatedly passing over him
بخفافها الإبل تطأ على الرجل نائم ممدد على الأرض والإبل تدوسه وتطأه كلما مضى عليه أخراها ردت عليه أولا.
So this man who does have camels and did not pay its portion of zakah, it will come in the day of judgment and he will lay flat on the floor and these camels will pass upon him one after another and they will keep passing upon him like in a loop. And it will keep doing that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his judgment in a day which is equivalent to 50,000 days of hours. And at the end of that day he will find his destination either to the hell or to the paradise. Equally, no owner of sheep or goats who does not pay zakah, he will lay flat, as we said about the same situation will take place as we said concerning the camel owner. So this man will also lay flat on a sandy plain, and the goats will run over him as heavy as they will come, and they will trample him with their hoofs and gore him with their horns. These goats, all of them will be with strong horns and will come and gore him. They even have twisted horns, and they will keep doing that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will finish his judgment in a day which is equal to or equivalent to 50,000 days of ours. And finally he will see his destination either to the hellfire or to the paradise. Then the companions asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Messenger of Allah, what about the horses? The point here is that there is no zakah for horses. Unless you are trading them, you are selling and buying them. But if you just own the horses, you needn't pay zakah. Whatever the value of these horses is, as long as you just own the horses, you needn't pay zakah. So the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, what about the horses? Then he replied, horses have goodness in their foreheads. Or he said, goodness lies in the foreheads of the horses until the day of judgment. The Prophet ﷺ, the goodness that the Prophet ﷺ referred to here is the spoils which you can gain when using these horses in a battle. Because as we know that the horses are to be used in fighting, and the Muslims will fight for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using these horses, and it will be the reason to beat their enemies and take their spoils. Even nowadays, these horses are still used in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Shishan. Because there are some places wherein new vehicles cannot be used.
الخيل معقود في نواصيها الخير إلى يوم القيامة. الخيل ثلاثة
Also the Prophet ﷺ added in his hadith that horses are of three kinds. They are a source of reward for the owner. They are a cover, or they are a burden to a person. For the first kind, which is a reward, this is because this is in the case of a man who owns these horses and prepare it to be used for fighting the enemies of Allah. So for those who raises and trains the horses for the sake of Allah, he will get a reward from him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as that the consume will be considered a reward for him from Allah. So even if you are just having the intention that you are preparing these horses to be used for fighting or for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you feed them with will be a reward for you. Even if you make them drink from a river, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you as much as the drops of water they will drink. Even the Prophet ﷺ added that you have a reward even with their urines. And even if these horses climbed a hill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward with each step these horses walk. So this is actually a huge reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those people who have horses and prepare it for the cause of Allah. For the second kind, as for the one to whom they will provide cover, he is the one who raises them for owner and he just raises these horses for a matter of honor and enjoyment. This person has to memorize to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him these horses and make it easy for him. For the third one, as for the one to whom they are a burden, he is the one who raises them for glory and taking pride among others and showing it and showing off to people. So this man just races the horses for taking pride and showing off to people. For that man, he really has a burden. Then the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, and what about donkeys? Also, the donkeys, you don't need to pay zakah as a portion of the donkeys you have.
الصحابة سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الحمير قالوا فالحمر يا رسول الله
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم answered and replied
أنزل الله علي فيها شيء
to their question saying Allah has not revealed to me anything in regard to them meaning by that donkeys except this one comprehensive verse
الفازة يعني التي لا نظير لها الفازة يعني التي لا نظير لها فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا
which is Allah سبحانه وتعالى said he who does an atom's weight of good will see it and he who does an atom's weight of evil will see it
حكما خاصا بالحمير ولكن ايه هي مندرجة تحت عموم هذه الآية الكريمة فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره يعني معناه أن الحمير إذا استعملها الإنسان في الخير
and that means
تصدق
for something bad or for evil Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you
استعملها في اي معصيه من المعاصي فانه في هذه الحاله سيكون عليه وزر من عمل مثقال ذره
and you will have a burden
سيجازى يا شيخ
نعم
حضرتك قلت هل الحمير برضه لو كانت للتجاره يبقى عليها زكاه
نعم كل اي شيء للتجاره
the point was here that if the donkeys are used for trading you have to pay a portion of zakah for them Anything you are using for the bottom line here is that anything you are using for trading, you have to pay zakah for. And the portion of this zakah is 2.5% of the property you are trading with.
هذه فيها زكاة ولو كان الإنسان يقتنيها لنفسه لا يتاجر فيها الإنسان عنده إبل أو بقر أو غنم يقتنيها لنفسه لاستعماله الخاص عليه فيها زكاة ولكن مثلا الخيل والحمير والعبيد مثلا المماليك كذلك الأراضي ليس فيها زكاة إذا كانت للاقتناء كان عنده مثلا ألف فدان يقتنيها لنفسه
also if you have if you own lands, you needn't pay zakah for these lands because you just own them and you don't use them for trading. But you have to pay zakah only for the plants. Also, if you even have a palace, even if it's worth $1 million. You needn't pay zakah for it because it's something you just own and you don't and you are not trading with.
حديث عظيم رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله. طيب حديث آخر قال وروى الشيخان عن أبي هريرة.
البخاري and Muslim relate from Abu Huraira that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said.
من آتاه الله مالا
Whoever is made wealthy by Allah, and who does not pay zakah when his wealth, on the day of judgment, it will become a bald-headed, poisonous male snake. It has really turned it bald because of its poison. So this wealth and this money will come in the day of judgment as a bald-headed poisonous male snake with two black spots over his eyes. The snake on the day of judgment will encircle his neck and bite his cheeks and say, "I am your treasure, I am your wealth." Then the Prophet ﷺ recited the ayah, "And let not those who hoard up that which Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty." Also Ibn Majah, Al-Bazzar and Al-Bayhaqi relate from Ibn Umar that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O people of migrants, O muhajirin, beware of five things. There are five tests which will be so severe, and you have to be aware of them. Then he said, if ever immorality is spread in a community and there is no sense of shame on its occurrence or mentioning it, so in this case the immorality will be something usual, and people will talk about it as if nothing bad has taken place. In this case, diseases which were not present in the time of their predecessors will spread among them. So if the people started not to be ashamed and talk about the bad things as if it is something usual, there will be a lot of diseases which they did not see before. The second point is, if they decrease the measure and weight, meaning that they cheat in selling, they will be overcome by poverty. They will be more, they will be much poorer. Their provisions will decrease and their ruler will be unjust. The third point is, if they refrain from paying zakah, on their zakah due on their properties, they will be deprived of rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not send rain to them unless they get it only for the sake of their cattle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only send these rains for the cattle and not for them. The fourth point is, if they renounce their commitment and they did not fulfill their commitment to Allah and His Messenger, they will be governed by an enemy who is a stranger to them. And who will take away some of what they possess. So the Muslim has to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has to fulfill his deals, and also he has to follow the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the Muslims got used to committing the sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an enemy, a stranger enemy to them, who will govern them and will possess their properties. And this already happened. The original boundaries of the Islamic state was from east at the boundaries of China, and from west it reached some lands in Europe. But nowadays these lands has been shrunk to a little area or to less area, because the nowadays are away of the religion. The fifth point is, if their rulers do not rule according to Allah's book, they will be afflicted by civil war. And this also took place nowadays. The last hadith warning against denying paying the zakah, Al-Bukhari and Muslim related from Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais that the Prophet Al-Ahnaf said, I was in the company of some men of Quraysh. When a man came, that man was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. A man came with coarse hair, clothes, and appearance. He stood up, greeted them, and said, inform those who hoard property that a stone will be heated in the fires of hell and then placed on the nipples of their breasts until it comes out from the top of their shoulders.
وقال إيه بشر الكانزين برضه يحمى عليه في نار جهنم ثم يوضع على حلمة ثدي أحدهم حتى يخرج من نغض كتفيه. نغض الكتف يعني أعلى الكتف, يعني تدخل إيه حجارة مثمان.
So the punishment here is as follows: there will be a stone in the hell which will be placed on the nipples of the breasts until it finally comes out from the top of the shoulders. Imagine how severe is that punishment. Then it will then be placed on the top of their shoulders until it comes out again from the nipple of their breasts. So now it is the reverse operation, and they will be shaking.
يكنزون الذهب والفضة والعلم.
Then Abu Dharr left.
إلى آخر الآيات الكريمة. فكان يعني أبو ذر يفهم أنه لا حق لأحد يعني في أي مال مدخر زيادة عن نفقته الضرورية. كان أبو ذر رضي الله عنه يرى الآية يعني فيها وعيد للكنز.
أبو ذر الغفاري was misinterpreting the verse of Quran because he thought that anyone who just saved some money, he will be punished like this. And he thought that any extra amount you have, you should pay it as charity or as zakah. But this was misinterpretation, because all the other companions disagree with them, with him.
رضي الله عنه شديدا على الأغنياء. يعني كل إنسان عنده مال مدخر كان ينكر عليه.
Actually, Abu Dharr was very tough with the rich.
يعني بسبب هذا فإن عثمان رضي الله عنه يعني في خلافته منعه من الفتية. منعه من الفتية. كان يحدث فتنة يعني بهذه الفتوى أنه يفتي الناس بأنه لا حق لأحد في الادخار وكذا. وكان يقلب.
And in the days of Uthman ibn Affan, he did not assign him as a mufti or as the person who legislates the rules and give the opinion. Because as we said that he was very tough in this point, and he went to the extreme case. Because as we said that Abu Dharr was always thinking that any extra amount of money you have, you should pay as zakah. And in the days of Uthman, as we said that, he has been isolated and he left away from the people.
فجاء أبو ذر فسلم عليه هو في هذه الهيئة يعني خشن الثياب وخشن الهيئة وسلم عليه وقال بشر الكاذبين بردف يحمى عليه في نار جهنم ثم يوضع على حلم ثدي أحدهم حتى يخرج من نغض كتفيه ويوضع على نغض كتفيه حتى يخرج من حلم ثديه فيتزلزل ثم ولى فجلس إلى
When Abu Dharr left, the narrator of the hadith ran after him, and actually the narrator doesn't know that this man is Abu Dharr. He ran after him and he said to him, I think the people disliked what you already said to them. Then Abu Dharr said, they don't understand anything. That my friend said to me, then the narrator interpreted him, who is your friend? Then he replied, the Messenger of Allah, peace upon him. Then he said that Abu Dharr said that the Prophet ﷺ said to him, do you see the mount of Uhud? Then I looked at the sun.
أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرسلني في حاجة الله.
Then I looked at the sun to see how much of the day was left. Because he thought that the Messenger of Allah wanted to send him somewhere. Then Abu Dharr said,
قال فنظرت إلى الشمس ما بقي من النهار وهو يقول
yes.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سيرسله في حاجة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أتبصر أحدا؟
Then
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said
يوصله إلى جهة جبل أحد. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أتبصر أحدا؟ قال نعم، وجلس ينتظر من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرسله مثلا بشيء في جهة جبل أحد، لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرسله في حاجة، وإنما قال له
زين زبرف صلى الله عليه وسلم said
ما أحب أن لي مثل أحد ذهبا.
Nothing would be delight me more than having gold equal to the bulk of Uhud and spending all of it except 3 dinars. So the Prophet ﷺ was saying that he wished he would have gold as much as or as huge as the mountain of Uhud, and he will spend all this gold for the sake of Allah except 3 dinars or $3 in our currency. Indeed, then Abu Dhar said, indeed these people do not understand and go on accumulating riches. By Allah, I neither ask them for this world, nor do I ask them anything about religion until I meet Allah. So, in conclusion, this hadith carried the message that the person who will deny paying zakah, he will be in severe punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let us address the judgment on the person who denies paying zakah. Zakah is one of the essential requirements of our religion. If the person denies paying zakah because he thinks that zakah is not mandatory and it is not obligatory, so this person is considered a disbeliever unless he is new to Islam, because he still doesn't know that zakah is obligatory and mandatory. But otherwise, if he denies zakah because he thinks that it's not mandatory, he will be considered as disbeliever. On the other hand, if a person denies paying zakah and refuses to pay zakah because he doesn't need to pay money, but he knows that zakah is mandatory, in such a case he will commit a major sin.
إلا عند أحمد والشافعي في القديم فإنه يأخذها منه ونصف ماله عقوبة. هنا منع الزكاة يعني على مذهب الجمهور، فإن الحاكم يجبره على على دفع الزكاة ولا يعني يأخذ منه.
The majority of the scholars say that
في مذهب الإمام أحمد
the governor of the Muslims has to take the zakah by force from the person who already denies to pay zakah. But there is also another opinion. There is another opinion is that the governor has to take the portion of zakah from the person who already denies to pay zakah in addition to half of its wealth, half of his wealth, as a punishment.
في كل إبل سائمة في كل إبل سائمة الإبل السائمة هي التي ترعى أكثر الحول من الكلأ المباح يعني لا يعلم.
And there is hadith narrated
من ماله الخاص
that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said
مراعي المباح هذا معنى في كل إبل سائمة في كل 40 ابنة لبون هذا سيأتي تفصيله إن شاء الله
whether
معنى لا يفرق
إبل the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said
مثلا إذا كان إنسان عنده 40 ناقة فعليه إيه؟ عليه ناقة طيب
whether the camels
إذا جاء جامع الزكاة يكون هو عنده 40 فيجي إيه يفرقها ويقول أنا عندي 20
whether the camels of the zakah payer are grown or baby camels, it makes no difference in his reward if he gave them willingly. However, the portion here is that for each 40 camels, you have to pay one camel as zakah.
هو إذا قسمها ممكن إن الزكاة ستقل. فبعض الناس يفعل هذا يعني تحايلا على الزكاة كما سيأتي تفصيل إن شاء الله في الكلام عنه.
But if it is less than 40, there is another kind of distribution we will talk about later.
فإن آخذوها وشطر ماله.
If someone refrains from paying this zakah, it will be taken from him along with half his property. So the Prophet said that whoever pays the zakah willingly, he will be rewarded for that. And he will deny it, we will take this zakah from him in addition to half his property. Then he added, for it is a riot of our Lord. And it's not a riot of the house of Muhammad. So this sustains and supports the opinion of the scholars that the person who already denied to pay zakah, it should be taken from him in addition to half of his wealth. Now, what about if a group of people denied paying zakah? Before we were speaking about an individual, but now, if a group of people, like people in a city, or like a tribe, a whole tribe didn't want to pay zakah, and they are people of power. So what will be the situation in this case? The point here is that those people has to be fought.
قال لما رواه البخاري ومسلم عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
since al-Bukhari and the Muslim narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been ordered to fight people until they be witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet, and to pray and to make the prayers and to pay zakah. And if he, and if they did so, they will be in safe. Also Abu Huraira said that after the death of the Prophet after the death of the Prophet and when Abu Bakr succeeded him, some Arabs already denied to pay zakah, then Abu Bakr declared war upon them. Umar said to him, why must you fight these men? Then Abu Bakr said to him, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, I have been called to fight men until they say that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Actually, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, most of the Arab tribes diverged from Islam and they returned disbelievers, except the people of Medina, Mecca, Ta'if, and other some tribes. Some of the Arabs, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, returned back to worship the idols. Others claimed prophethood. The third category just did not pay zakah, but they were still Muslims. So the Arab peoples after the death of the Prophet ﷺ were in four categories. The people in Mecca, Medina, Ta'if, they were still Muslims as they were. Others returned back to worship idols. Others claimed prophethood. Others, or the rest, denied paying zakah. At the time, Umar ibn al-Khattab did not think of a war against this people. And he had the opinion to start dealing with the people who pretended or claimed prophethood. And he thought of other ways than wars. Because he said that the Prophet ﷺ spent a lot of time to call people to say, to bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And this is the main point of Islam. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said that the first priority is to address the people who claimed prophethood or returned completely from Islam, and to delay the people who just didn't deny, who just denied to pay zakah, but they were still Muslims. But Abu Bakr had another opinion. And he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, if those people even withheld a young she-goat that they used to pay at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, I would fight them.
Umar ibn al-Khattab
Then Umar said, by Allah, it was he who gave Abu Bakr the true knowledge to fight, and later I came to know that he was right. In another narration of this hadith, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, if these people withheld even the rope encircling the neck of the goat, I will fight them for that rope. It is just here an indication that he is going to find them if they excluded a tiny thing from the care. So the point here is that if there is a group of people in a city or and they have a power and those people deny to pay zakah, so the governor of the Muslims has to fight them. We are to stop today at this point, and if you have questions, you are welcome.
أنا أسأل يعني هل نفهم من هذا أن الحيوانات التي فيها الزكاة هي الحيوانات التي تستعمل للأكل فقط؟ فالجواب.
There is a question that.
الحيوانات التي فيها الزكاة هي الإبل والبقر والغنم.
What are the animals for which we have to pay zakah?
يعني يعد الفقهاء نوعا من البقر. فهي الجوانيس يعني تعتبر من البقر.
The camels, the sheep, the cows. Otherwise, you don't need to pay any zakah.
هو الأخ هنا بيسأل يعني نفس السؤال بيقول بالنسبة للسيارات والحاجات دي هل يكون عليها زكاة ولا لا؟
بالنسبة للسيارات.
There is a question regarding the cars. Is it mandatory to pay zakah for that or not?
ربع العشر من قيمة السيارات التي لكن إذا كان إنسان يقتني السيارات.
If you just own your car.
يعني أيا كانت قيمتها.
Whatever its value is.
غالية القيمة وعالية القدر.
Even if it's very expensive, you needn't pay zakah. Because it's for personal usage. Even if you have 10 cars. But if you have it for trading, you in this case you have to pay zakah for it. There is also another point here is that whatever how much you have, how many you have from donkeys and horses, you needn't pay zakah for them, as we said. Also the houses, if you own house, even if you own a palace, you needn't pay zakah for it, because it's something for your it's personal property. And you don't use it for trading. There is a question about the jewelry for women. In conclusion, there is some dispute or some differences among the scholars, but in conclusion, they said that you have to pay zakah for the jewelry. Actually, there is a special hadith addressing this point.
قالت لا. قال أتحبين أن يصورك الله بهما سوارين من النار؟
That the Prophet ﷺ already said a woman having some jewelry, and he asked here about the zakah, but she said, I don't pay zakah. Then he ordered her to do that. Inshallah, we will speak about this point in details later. We are just at the beginning of the aspect of the zakah. There is a zakah of money, there is a zakah of trading, there is a zakah of jewelry, there is a zakah of plants. There are actually a lot of kinds of zakah, and we will address them in details inshallah later. So today we are to stop at that point, and inshallah we'll continue next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.